Hello, hello, welcome to this talk about Gradle and the Kotlin DSL. Or should I say Gradle and the Kotlin build scripts? Or should I say everything you didn't want to know about the Gradle Kotlin APIs? A few words about myself. My name is Martin. You can find me on Twitter at Martin Bonin. I work for a company named Apollo GraphQL. We do a lot of things GraphQL. More specifically, I work on this specific project here that is named Apollo Kotlin. It's a GraphQL client for Kotlin. It's a type-safe client, meaning it works by taking GraphQL queries and generating Kotlin models, having all the properties you can expect from your server. It does so using a Gradle plugin, and while working on the Gradle plugin, I had the opportunity to deep dive in the Gradle APIs, and this is the story that I want to share with you today. Small disclaimer, I'm not a Gradle engineer, so this is the point of view of someone that has used the Gradle APIs a lot, but not really written them. So take everything I'm saying with a bit of salt. I think it's useful to have a mental model of how it's working, but things are a lot more complicated behind the hood. And before we dive into the specific of Kotlin, I think it's interesting to go back in time and see how we get there. In the very early days of build system was NewMake. It's really the ancestors of all build system, mainly written for C and C++. Awful syntax, not really fun to use. I'll skip this one. Things start to get interesting in 2004 with Maven, which was more designed for Java and introduced a lot of very useful concepts like the group artifact version that you might know from Maven Central, for an example. So this is Maven that introduced nice capabilities that we can just take whatever libraries and with a simple string depend on it. So this is thanks to Maven that we have this nice and vibrant Java ecosystem. Maven is a declarative build system, meaning everything is written using XML. So it has one big drawback, which is that if there's something you want to express that's not expressible in XML, you're basically stuck. You will have to either write a plugin or do something else, but it's not very flexible. So Gradle came in 2008 with a scripting language using Groovy, where you can add imperative programmatic logic to your builds and not just XML like using Maven. And finally, in 2018, so it's not that old, it's 3 years old, which is not that old in the grand scheme of things, Gradle introduced support for Kotlin build scripts, which it named Kotlin DSL, but we will see later why this is not a good name. And Kotlin DSL is, well, very nice because you have the whole IDE support. Like you can just type dot and have all the autocomplete and everything. And why am I doing all this retrospective? It's because, as you've seen, there's a lot of legacy to all these build systems, like the concept of task, dependencies, everything. There's 20 more years of background behind that. And a lot of the terminology of Gradle actually comes from Maven, like stuff like dependency management, dependencies, group artifact version, configurations. This feels weird if you don't take into account the legacy, but once you know where all this is coming, I think it makes more sense why some of the APIs of Gradle are named like this. Back to our sample script. So this is a simple script that I'm going to reuse through this presentation. It uses the Kotlin plugin. It adds OKI.io as a dependencies, configures the Kotlin plugin, and has some, also configures the Kotlin compile Kotlin task. We take a look at the Kotlin version of this. It's really similar, like single quotes are double quotes, a few extra more parentheses, and it's really working well. The thing is, when using Groovy, the language and Gradle uses a lot of dynamic usage. So if you were to take a look at implementation, you wouldn't be able to find any function named implementation in the Gradle API. Same for Kotlin here, same for Kotlin compile here. And this is all working thanks to something called Groovy metaprogramming, which It's really built in the Groovy language. If you have a Groovy class that can be written in Groovy or even in Java actually or in Kotlin, this is all possible. If you have a function called invoke method, it will be invoked as a fallback every time no such method is found. So instead of throwing an exception, you will be able to react to this. And this is exactly what's happening here. So here, implementation is not a real function, but it will end up inside this method. So then it raises a question of, because Kotlin is a much more type-safe and compile-time language, how does it work in Kotlin? Well, the thing is, it works with something called auto-generated accessors, and this is what we will see in the next slides. So if we take this simple plugin, we have three things that are generated automatically. First one is an extension, second one is configuration, and the third one is task. So we will take a look at each of these dynamic usage separately and see what these are. The good news is that behind the hood, Gradle is all written in Java, so you can actually control-click the Gradle build script and be taken to the Gradle source code and see what's happening behind the hood. So let's start with the simplest one. The simplest one is the extension. So the extension is the entry point for any plugin. Here it's named Kotlin. Here it's how you configure the Kotlin plugin. Yeah, if you go to the documentation, and by the way, the Gradle documentation is very extensive. So it's almost too detailed sometimes, but really, it has a lot of very useful information. So an extension object, as explained in the documentation, it's just an object that is registered by your plugin. And when you're writing this, what you're actually doing is you're getting to the extensions of the project and getting one by name that is named Kotlin. So this is all a runtime thing. And then it is cast as a Kotlin JVM extension, which is a Pojo that has methods that you can use to configure the Gradle plugin. And this all works because Gradle generated an accessor called Kotlin here that you're using this that does this project.extension.getByName. The funny thing is that there are a lot of other ways to use this. You could, for an example, do configure the Kotlin JVM project extension, and it will do exactly the same. Or there is even this nice the method, which looks up the project extension or configuration. Yeah, maybe configuration as well, and returns it to you. You can, if you are not a fan of the lambdas and the well, braces everywhere, you can use it imperative style without lambda at all. Everything works. So we've seen extensions. Next, let's go to configuration, which is the second dynamic usage. So configurations are weird. Like when I first came in configuration, I was thinking this is something to configure like an extension that we've seen previously, like configure a plugin. I would expect to do this with a configuration. The thing is, it's not that at all. And again, the reason is that there is a lot of legacy and legacy reasons